Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. There are many things that you can learn from reading the introduction to a good book. Oftentimes, the author will kind of set up their intent for why they are writing the book, and so you kind of you understand the why. Maybe they're going to explain the inspiration behind the book. They want you to know where they're coming from and what encouraged them to write the book. And most often, the best introductions give you a frame of reference through which to read the book at hand. They kind of just give you the general idea of where the book is going to go so that you know what you're looking for. So it is with the book of Revelation. We find that all three are given at the introduction to the book. There is the intent, there is the inspiration, and there is the frame of reference for which we are to understand what is to follow as we look at the introduction to Revelation. So if you would turn with me this morning to Revelation chapter 1, we're going to start over in our look at Revelation, because now we're going to move from the letters to the seven churches, the individual letters, to the letter as a whole. And we're going to begin at the very beginning, Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. John writes these words. He says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show His servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." And in those three verses, we understand the intent, we understand the inspiration, and we understand the frame of reference. And this morning, there are two things I want to tell you before we continue on with our study of the book of Revelation. Two things that I really think we need to understand that set up where we're going to go. The first is this, is I don't have the book of Revelation all figured out. Now, I believe that I have a way to read and understand Revelation that is correct. But I know that there are people who are much wiser than me, who have studied much more depth than I, who hold to different views. And so where I'm wrong, I still believe that at least at a minimum, the way that I view Revelation helps us to live life the way the rest of the Bible calls us to live. And it helps us to navigate life. Therefore, if I'm incorrect, at least it is complementary to the other views of the book. And we can all find information and we can all be encouraged. The second thing I want you to know is this. The book of Revelation was written to, first of all, to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And so we must understand that it was written to unveil truth to those who had ears to hear, while masking the truth to those who didn't. You know, those people also known as the Roman authorities. So, when we look to the signs and symbols found in the book of Revelation, when we find them in the words of John, we have to see them from the point of view of a first century Jewish Christian. We cannot have the message of Revelation mean something to us that they would not have understood and it would not have meant to them. In the end, we are going to find comfort and encouragement, not fear and anxiety, if we are correctly reading the book of Revelation, if we are studying it as Jesus meant for it to be understood. And as we study, the most important thing that we should see is the victorious King. If we take anything else from the book of Revelation, we have missed what John is writing about. Because he says in the very introduction this, he says it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we're going to ask the question, if we're going to look at what John says in the introduction, the first thing that we need to understand is the book of Revelation is primarily about Jesus Christ. John, in the book of 1 John, he writes and he says that he writes about what he saw and what he heard and what he touched. He tells us in the book of 1 John that he lived life with Jesus of Nazareth, also known as the Christ, the Son of God, and he lived life with him for some 3 to 3.5 years, wandering about what we know as Israel. And when John begins this book, he says that he was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's been given something more to know and something more to understand about Jesus Christ. And it is an unveiling. John can say, I knew who Jesus was when he walked on this earth, and I know what he taught, and I know how he lived life, but now I am getting the information about Jesus that we need to understand. And the book and the word revelation means an unveiling. It means to reveal something that had been unknown. And so we're going to be revealing Jesus Christ. And as we read through, if you read through the book of Revelation correctly, what you find is that Jesus Christ is the star of the book. Jesus Christ is present in all of the book of Revelation. Sometimes we see him in these pictures that we've looked at with the letters to the seven churches. When John takes a piece of what he's seen, and when Jesus writes to the churches and he says, this is who I am. And as we go on in the book of Revelation, you will see those identifications of Jesus over and over again, those little snippets. But sometimes we look and we see Jesus as a lamb that was slaughtered. Sometimes we see him as God. We see him as the one who was present from eternity past and who will be until eternity present. As he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the one who was, who is, and who is to come, the Almighty. And we see Jesus worshipped as God, and elsewhere we see John trying to worship angels, and the angels won't accept his worship because they're not worthy. They are created beings, but Jesus Christ is uncreated. And as we study through the book of Revelation, we get these pictures of Jesus. Elsewhere, though, as we read through the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus continues to be a man like you and me. There is a physical body. There is a piece of Jesus that he had on this earth that he has taken into the presence of the Father for eternity. And that should be for you and me, that should be something glorious and something great, because it's a reminder that one day, if we are in him and we remain faithful as the book of Revelation calls us to, if we remain faithful to Jesus, one day we will be given new bodies. And if you are in pain today, the Scriptures promise there will be no more pain. Amen? There will be no more crying, no more sadness, no more death. Those things that deal with sin, that sin has brought into this life, will be no more. And when we see Jesus, we see him there in heaven with his earthly body that, as Paul writes elsewhere, has been transformed into this body that we will have for eternity. Elsewhere, as we read through the book of Revelation, we see Jesus, we see him again as a sacrifice. We see him as the one who was slain before the foundations of eternity to pay the price for our sins. He is the sacrifice, the only sacrifice that was capable of making a way for you and me to have a relationship with God the Father. It was the only sacrifice that could pay the debt of our sins. And we see Jesus Christ as the sacrifice, but we see him ultimately as the conqueror. We see him as the one in at the end of Revelation, riding forth on the white horse, going out to do battle with his enemies. The battle lasts for one breath when the sword of his mouth, the word, comes out and everything is over before it begins. We see Jesus riding out as the conqueror, and that's why when you see him on that white horse, his robes are already dipped in blood because he has already won the battle. The victory's already secured. and he goes forth with his own blood, the blood that won the victory. And so we see Jesus, and the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. If you read the opening words, you can look for nothing else as you go through the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him to show his servants what soon must take place. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, but here's what I know. We often, unfortunately, get caught up in the other characters, because I know that as we read through the book of Revelation, there are some frightening characters. You're going to see some frightening characters in the book of Revelation if you're reading it. There are those angels that come forth riding on horses, and they seem bent on destruction. There are the beasts from the land and the beasts from the sea. There's this harlot. There's the destroying angel. There's just all kinds of weird beasts and weird characters and frightening characters that we see throughout the book of Revelation. Some of them are quite unnerving. You see them and they just take you off edge and you wonder, what does that mean? What will happen? And some of them are quite powerful. They have some strength. They have some ability. And we will see that as we go through the book of Revelation. Then we see others who are quite lowly. We see the souls of the saints who've been slain, who are below the altar. They have no power. They have nothing. And they ask God, he said, how much longer must we wait? And he says, oh, wait a little bit longer until the full number of your brothers have been killed as well. And they have no power. All they can do is be in the presence of God. They have no power. They have no ability. And there are the lowly. And there are the worshipful. I mean, you see the book of Revelation and you see the angels who are before the throne of God, and it's much like what we sang about this morning in Revelation song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is to come. That's the song that these angels sing throughout eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And then there's the 24 elders who have their crowns, and they continually throw down their crowns before the feet of God as worship. There are the spiteful. There are those who know the truth, but they refuse to accept it. Revelation 9:6 says there's a time when men will ask the rocks to fall on them because they won't worship God. And they just get spiteful at Him. They know the truth, but they won't accept it. And so they just grit their teeth and they spit at God. But here's what I know. And here's what you need to understand about the book of Revelation. Those are characters, but they are not the focus of Revelation. The beast is not the answer in Revelation. It's not about him. It's not about the false prophets. It's not about the angels who stand around the throne of God and worship all day. It's not about the saints under the altar. It's about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who else you see in the book of Revelation. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what John says. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The second question John answers as he gives us the introduction to his book is, who is the book written for? And this is important for you and me to understand. We have to come at this book with the intent that it was given to us in. And John writes, he says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave to show his servants what must soon take place. And then he says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. So first of all, this book was given to John. This book is John's The revelation was given by God to Jesus to give to John. Now, I'm in firm belief that this is the Apostle John, who lived his life with Jesus Christ, who somewhere near the end of his life, probably sometime in the mid to late 90s A.D., was on the island of Patmos, like he said. And he was given this vision of things that are in heaven and things that are taking place. And he sees this vision, and it was given to John for the purpose of encouraging and strengthening the body of Christ. It was given to John first and foremost. But for John, the message wasn't for him. The message was for John to write down. The message was for John to take and to send to the churches that he had had affiliation with, and the churches that were going out from there. And it was a message to John because John is in tribulation. He says that it was written to him and to his fellow brothers, to his fellow servants, to those who, like John, were alive in 90-something A.D. And then it was written to the readers. And when John writes this, the thing is you and I, we all have the ability to have a Bible with us. We all live in a country where these words on this page, on these pages, they don't cost us a lot. You can go down to Walmart and you can spend $5 or $6 and buy a Bible. You can go to the Bible bookstore over in Champaign or somewhere and you can buy one for $15, $20 that's a little bit better, or you can spend $50 or $60 and buy one that's probably going to last a long time, or you can just take out your phone and you can download the YouVersion of the Bible. There you have the Bible right before you. And not only that, you can get it in several different translations, but when John wrote this book, more than likely he had a scroll. He had this scroll that would only go so long, and you'd roll it and unroll it and slide it and roll it and unroll it and slide it and roll it, and you would do this until you got to where you wanted to read, and you'd read the letter. And they were expensive. Scrolls were very expensive. And so likely John wrote one copy of everything that we have in the book of Revelation, and he sent it on to the seven churches, and it went from church to church to church to church to church until it made its circuit around all seven churches and probably some stops in the other towns and the other villages around these seven churches where they would hear. And the thing is there's only one. So somebody's job within the church was to take this letter that John had written and to sit or to stand in the presence of the rest of the congregation, and he would read the letter. This isn't talking about this came to this guy and he sat in his office somewhere and he read the letter. This is saying that this morning we're going to read through the book of Revelation. We're going to read this letter that John sent us. And John identifies that there is some sort of special blessing that comes to the reader, to the one who reads the words of the book of Revelation. There is a blessing that is promised. And so this letter was written for those who would read. But then he goes on and he says it's not just the one who will read, but it's the ones who hear the words of this prophecy. It's for you and it's for me when we hear the words of the prophecy. So if I were to stand here this morning and I were to read to you the book of Revelation, there is promised a blessing. And if we're not reading it and coming away with a blessing of some sort from the book of Revelation, we have read it wrong. If there is not blessing in your life, there are one of two things I can tell you. One is that you have read it wrong, and two is that you are not a follower of Christ who has your ears open to hear. You are not a follower of Christ. If you can read the book of Revelation and there is not something that is blessing you, If you are not getting encouraged and strengthened from it, you're either not a follower of Christ or you're reading it wrong. But here's overall. I mean, those are the three categories of people that the book of Revelation was written for. But here's, if we want to take it a step back and we want to say, who was the book of Revelation written for? Here is the answer that John gives. The book was written for those who will face challenge in life. The book was written to help and to encourage us as we face the challenges of life. Particularly when we struggle for our faith, but it's really written for any of the challenges that we have in life. How many of you face challenges in life? How many of you face challenges in the last month in this life? You see, the book of Revelation was written for you. And you should be able to read the words of this book and find encouragement and hope and strength for the life that you live. Which brings us to the last answer that John gives us this morning as we look at the introduction, and that is, why was the book of Revelation given? Why was this revelation given? And it's written to give a blessing. It was written, first of all, to reveal Jesus Christ. That's what God says at the very beginning. That's what John writes. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant. It was written to reveal Jesus Christ. It is written so that we know who he is in a new and a fresh way. Now, this was written probably 60-some years after Jesus died. 60-some years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And what John wants us to see is the reality of who Jesus is. And so we can go back to what we began with. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the star of the book. He is God, he's man, he's sacrifice, he's conqueror. But John wants us to see him as a ruling king who has authority to carry out his own plans. Who is Jesus? He is the victorious king of heaven and earth. He has won the battle. God not only wants us to see who Jesus is, but he wants us to see where he is. Because here's the thing. We could say a lot of things about Jesus, but if we don't know where he truthfully is, then everything we say is questionable. If we simply say that Jesus rose from the grave and then ascended somewhere, well, that doesn't tell us much. Maybe the space aliens came and Star Trek zapped him away. You remember when they go and they teleport, whatever it was, beam me up, Scotty. Maybe Jesus was standing out there and he said, beam me up, Scotty. And Scotty said, okay, here you go. There goes Jesus. But what John says is that it wasn't Star Trek. It wasn't anything like that. He says there is a place, a very real place, where the Jews knew to be the throne room of God, the heaven of the heavens. And John writes, and he says that this is what I'm going to show you, that Jesus Christ is presently in heaven. I want you to know where he is. He's the conquering king who is now at heaven at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. And he is ruling. He is the one who is ruling. And he's making judgment. And he is the one who is calling the shots. He is the one that's opening the seven seals for the seven judgments that are taking place. He is the one. He is the one who's behind the judgments. And that's what John's going to show us as we read through the book. The book was written also to help the audience. I can't state this enough, that this book was not just written to blow our minds and make us wonder. This book was written to give us encouragement first of all, as we read through the book of Revelation, he says that I want you to see what's going to take place because the time is near. The revelation of Jesus Christ was given so that we know what to expect. We can kind of see what's out there and see what's going to happen. It was written so that the church in 95 to the end of the first century AD would know what was taking place around them. But it wasn't just written for curiosity's sake so that we would know what was going to happen. Rather, it says that it was also written for the blessing. It's written so that we would know how to face every encounter so as to overcome. The book of Revelation was written so that when we face life, when we deal with the challenges of life, we can overcome. That's why when you read the letters to the seven churches, every one of them says, to him who has ears, and then it gives a blessing to the one who overcomes. To the one who overcomes, I will give. And he gives the gift. To him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Over and over and over again, this is the message that Jesus Christ gives, that we can overcome. But we can only overcome if we understand the book of Revelation. We can only overcome if we know how to deal with the things that we face in life. And so John is going to show us, or John is going to tell us what God allowed him to see from the throne room of heaven so that we can overcome. You see, Revelation wasn't written as a calendar. Rather, it's given kind of like an overlay. How many of you are old enough to remember World Book Encyclopedias? Now, you remember in the anatomy section there was this picture of the body. And in this picture there was one that was on the regular paper that the rest of the World Book Encyclopedia was written on, printed on. But then in front of it there were a whole bunch of these clear pages that weren't completely clear. They had pictures. And one of them had a picture of the lungs and the bronchial tube so that you could see how you breathe. One of them had a picture of the heart and some blood vessels, and it kind of showed you how your heart worked. What they were overlays so that you could understand the anatomy of the human body. You took this picture of the human body and you overlaid these others on it, and it gave you a picture of what your body might look like if you could cut it away section by section and see what was there. That's the way the book of Revelation works. It's kind of like a template. It can be laid on the subjects at hand, and we see how they will work. You see, the purpose of Revelation isn't to tell us when things will take place. Rather, it's to show us how to face suffering. Not to tell us what suffering we'll face or when, for that matter. Mark Moore, former professor at Ozark Christian College, writes this in a book called How to Dodge a Dragon. He says, what if Revelation is not viewed as a calendar but as a template? What if we are able to lay its principles over any period of suffering? Most Christians throughout history of the church have applied Revelation to themselves, have been mostly right. That is to say that John did not have a historic reality in, or that is not to say, excuse me, that is not to say that John did not have a historic reality in mind when he wrote the book. It's rather to say, however, that like the prophecies of the Old Testament, there are principles and metaphors embedded in them that are contemporary and relevant for each generation. That's why this book has perpetual relevance. Whenever there is a tragedy of suffering, persecuted Christians, or rampant evil, this book weaves its way into the life of the church, reminding God's people that their security is in Christ, the seriousness of their spiritual warfare, and the wondrous sovereignty of our mighty God. It was written so that when you and I are suffering, we know how to make it to the other side. But it all begins. It all begins with a relationship. It begins with a relationship with the victorious King. And that means remaining faithful no matter what hell throws at you. And in the next few weeks, we're going to find out about the King and how to remain faithful. And on Easter Sunday, we're going to see a powerful picture of that victorious King. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd love to visit with you about what that looks like and what that means. I'd love to have you come and just say, let's talk about what this relationship means. But this morning, I want to encourage you, if you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's an encouragement to remain faithful to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of all creation. And if you need somebody to pray with you and encourage you this morning, won't you come as well as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation this morning? Holy, holy, holy. And we can join in with the angels in heaven who stand around the throne and sing this song.